Welcome to Stories Podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Weldon. Today's story is part two of Medusa and Perseus, an adaptation of a Greek myth written for you by Daniel Hines. Part one was released last Friday. If you haven't already, check that out first so you'll be all caught up for the conclusion. Today, we'd like to say a special thank you to Serenity McClendon and her family in South Carolina, Katie, Jeff, Glenn, and Baby McCusker and their family in Baltimore, Maryland, Thea and Emmy and their family in Shoreline, Washington, and Noah and Oliver Hollingsworth and their family in Zurich, Switzerland. Thank you so much, Oliver, Noah, Emmy, Thea, Baby McCusker, Glenn, Jeff, Katie, and Serenity. You are part of what makes it possible for us to continue to produce fun new stories for our listeners. If you would like to support Stories Podcast and get every episode ad-free, head over to patreon.com/stories and join for just $1 a month. If you'd like access to all of our ebooks or to receive a thank you in a future episode, that's also available at patreon.com/stories. We have new Stories Podcast face masks available. Check those out, plus all of our other merch at storiespodcast.com/shop. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Stories Podcast. If you send us a drawing of your favorite scene or character, we'll share it on our feed. Now here's a word from our sponsors. Studies have shown that kids have gotten behind in math because of the pandemic. If you've got a kid that's struggling to stay caught up, check out Mathnasium. They are the authority on math education. It's all they teach, and they're experts at it.
When my daughter Grace needs help with her math homework, I honestly don't always know how to help her. Math was never my favorite subject, and now they teach everything different, so I'm kind of lost. Mathnasium is such a great resource. The instructors that Gracie worked with were knowledgeable and patient, and they were able to explain things to her in a way that really seemed to click. They also created a custom learning plan for her, and they gave Grace exactly what she needed along the way.
Mathnasium works with kids in grades 2 through 12, and what they teach goes above and beyond math. Kids learn to think critically and problem solve and gain confidence in their overall abilities. They even manage to make math fun, which is amazing. Chances are there's a Mathnasium center near you. There are over 1,000 of them across the country, but you can also do everything online. Whatever works best for you. Whether you're looking to get your kids back on track or want to ensure that they're staying ahead with their math studies, find a center near you at mathnasium.com and contact them for a free in-center or online consultation.
Hey, grown-ups.
On the Nintendo Switch system, there's so many worlds you can explore.
Like Hyrule, where I can fight enemies and save the kingdom with Link.
That sounds adventurous.
Or my very own island in Animal Crossing New Horizons, where I can fish whenever I want.
Whoa, look at the size of that thing. You can find even more worlds to explore on the Nintendo Switch system. Games rated E to E10+. Games and systems sold separately.
Want to help your kids learn to tell and write the kind of exciting, funny, and thoughtful stories you hear on the podcast? Our friend Michael, co-designer of the upcoming Stories game, more on that soon, is a certified English teacher who runs online educational storytelling games for kids, which count for homeschool credit. Sign up now at luckoflegends.com and watch as your kid laughs, gasps, and writes page after page. Not because they have to, but out of sheer delight. Thanks! Enjoy the episode! Medusa and Perseus, Part 2. Perseus, demigod and son of Zeus, was running hard for the storm. Ahead, the lightning slammed into the earth in sizzling, crashing bolts. They left big gouges in the ground and reached for an instant like crackling columns into the heavens. Everyone nearby was running away as fast as they could. Some gave Perseus crazed looks as he ran by in the opposite direction.
"Boy, what are you doing?" cried one farmer, clutching at his arm. "You can't go that way. It's like the wrath of Zeus over there."
"I'm counting on it," Perseus shouted back.
He shook the man free and strode into the heart of the storm. Lightning and thunder filled the world. A normal person may have been burnt to a crisp, but Perseus was the son of Zeus. To him, the lightning was a welcome mat,
and thunder a knock on the door. "Father!" he shouted, young and lean, but whip-crack loud. "It's your son, Perseus. I have need of you." A bolt of lightning, bigger than all of the rest, struck the ground in front of Perseus. There was a flash of radiant light, and then there stood Zeus, rippling strong and crackling with power.
"My son,"
he boomed, clasping Perseus on the shoulder.
"I don't have long. Tell me, what do you need?"
Quick as he could, Perseus laid out the situation with his mother, Danae, being forced to marry King Polydectes, and how the king tried to get rid of him by sending him after the Gorgon, but not telling him that the Gorgon's gaze turned people to stone, or that she was a poor young girl cursed by Athena.
"So, yeah," Perseus finished. "I want to break the curse and save Medusa and my mother. The Grey Sisters said I had to kill the Gorgon to save the girl, but how do I kill a Gorgon? They have scales for skin and turn you into a statue if you get close."
"That king is going to learn a lesson," muttered Zeus darkly. "You'll need a few things to slay a Gorgon, son, starting with this."
Another lightning bolt smashed to the ground beside them, brilliant and smoking hot. Zeus reached into the earth where it struck and drew out a mighty sword.
"Take this sword. Its name is Harpy, and it's a blade for heroes," Zeus said, once more crackling with power. "It's a blade for my son."
"Thank you, father," Perseus said, taking the blade. It was near weightless in his hand and seemed to strike like lightning when he swung it.
"Next, three more things. You must talk to Hermes, Hades, and Athena herself."
"Athena?" Perseus asked. "But she's the one who transformed Medusa into a Gorgon in the first place."
"And that was a mistake," Zeus said. "One that she is going to help you fix."
The king of the gods got a dark expression on his face, and the clouds all went dark to match.
"But Hermes first. Shall I send you to him?"
"Yes, father. Thank you." Zeus nodded, and there was a flash and a whirl, and Perseus could feel Zeus teleporting him halfway across Greece. And suddenly, there was Hermes. The messenger god was flying up to Mount Olympus, and Perseus stopped right beside him. Unfortunately, Hermes was near the top of the mountain, with nothing but a few thousand feet of empty air beneath him.
"Hup!"
was all Perseus had time to say before he started plummeting down, down towards the ground.
"Help!"
he shouted, twisting to see where he was falling.
"Ah, pretty cool entrance, kid,"
Hermes said, flying down alongside him.
"But I don't get what the rest of the plan is here. Did you want a splat on the ground?"
The air was rushing by. Perseus could see the ground swelling closer and closer at an alarming speed.
"My dad sent me," he shouted over the roar of the wind. "He said you have something for me."
"Oh, right, right,"
Hermes said, digging in his messenger bag.
"They're right here somewhere."
"Hurry, before we hit," Perseus yelled. "I can't fly."
"Ha, you mean you couldn't fly,"
Hermes said, pulling a pair of shoes from his bag.
"Just one second."
The ground rushed up. The wind roared. Perseus wasn't sure if a demigod could die from falling off a mountain, but he thought he was about to find out. The ground came up, 100 feet away, 10, and Perseus closed his eyes. And then he stopped. Perseus opened his eyes to find himself gently bobbing just above the ground. He looked down and saw Hermes had taken off his shoes and replaced them with a pair of the magic sandals that allowed Hermes to fly.
"Another successful delivery," Hermes said with a smile. "Good luck with the Gorgon, kid."
The messenger god flew off, leaving Perseus still processing what exactly had just happened. The young man shook his head and practiced for a bit with the flying sandals. He was clumsy at first, but soon he was swooping and rolling through the air as smooth as any bird. And while he practiced, he thought about the Gray Sisters. They had told him to ride the wind and wield the lightning. Well, he had the wind from Hermes and the lightning from his father. He guessed that Hades had the cowl they mentioned and Athena the bronze. Perseus wanted to wait and rest, but he couldn't. He thought about his mother and about poor Medusa, and he knew he had to help them both as soon as he could. Using the winged sandals, Perseus flew himself to the top of Mount Olympus, the home of the gods. Hades usually lived in the underworld, but he would come to Olympus to plan and plot with the others. Perseus found him by a supernaturally blue and roaring fire, drinking something dark red from a pale white goblet. At his feet lay the great three-headed dog Cerberus. The mutt was sleeping currently, two heads snoring, and the third grinding its enormous teeth. "Hades," Perseus said, "my father has sent me for a quest." "Yeah, yeah," Hades said, not even looking in his direction. "Another one of Zeus's brats. The cowl is on the table. Close the door on your way out."
Well, Perseus stammered.
"What, you want a whole speech? I don't have the energy. See you later, kid." Perseus picked up the cowl, a sort of inky black hood, and closed the door behind him.
"Rude, but easy enough," he said to himself. "That just leaves Athena, the start of this whole thing, and the goddess he was least looking forward to visiting."
Perseus found her sparring in the yard with some other gods. Athena was wielding her long spear, and it seemed to move like a snake, darting and leaping and striking at all the perfect moments. Before long, her opponent was on his back, hands in the air.
"A good victory," Perseus said, approaching as friendly as he could.
"Oh, look," Athena said, pulling her foe up by the hand. "It's Zeus's little hero. You want to save Medusa? Why bother? She's just a little brat."
This wasn't off to a great start.
"Oh, is she a little brat? Or is she the unlucky victim of a fishmouth god and his jealous sister?"
Athena spun towards him and glared. Perseus held her gaze and didn't back down. "Give me what I need," he said.
"Someone has to fix your mistakes."
In a second, Perseus was looking down the shaft of Athena's spear, the point quivering a bare inch from his nose.
"I am a goddess, and you will speak to me with respect."
"You have done something that is not respectable," Perseus said, staring her in the eyes, daring her to try something.
She was a goddess, but he was a demigod, and wouldn't be cowed by someone too angry to admit their own mistakes. Athena sighed, pulling the spear away. She went to the corner of the yard and brought over a gilded wooden box. Inside was a shield of pure bronze, shimmering like a mirror in the sun.
"Look at her in this," Athena said. "The Gorgon stone magic won't work as a reflection. Use the shield as a mirror."
Perseus took the shield on his arm. It had a reassuring weight and the tingle of magic that all the artifacts of the gods seem to have.
"Thank you," he said.
Just go," Athena said.
Perseus shook his head and began to walk away. There was nothing left now but to fly to the island and kill the Gorgon.
"Perseus!" Athena called, and he looked at her over his shoulder.
"Save her, if you can," she said.
"I will," he said, "if I can."
And then he soared into the air. He landed on the island deep in the night, when everything was quiet and the sun was a dim haze on the horizon. At first, the island seemed like any of the others that speckled Greece's coasts. Green and lush and overgrown, the waters sparkling blue at its edges. But as Perseus started up a trail into the forest, he started seeing the statues. They were mostly men, some older, but many young like himself. They had swords bared, spears cocked back, or shields raised, but they were all turned to stone just the same.
These are other heroes, Perseus said to himself, touching a stone sword and jerking back when it crumbled in his hands. These are men who came to kill her.
Before she was transformed, Medusa had been kind and generous, with a heart that could easily open up and make room to care about everyone around her. But after she was violated by Poseidon and then unjustly punished by the goddess Athena, Medusa was different. She no longer felt that the world was a good and safe place, and she no longer trusted that good things would happen to good people. When all those other heroes had come to her island, she was startled and afraid of what they might do. When she realized that all they saw when they looked at her was a hideous monster, with no awareness of the charming girl she had once been, she was hurt. When they made it clear that they were there to slay her, Medusa was angry. As time passed, it became harder and harder for Medusa to remember her life before she had been changed, and it became easier and easier for her to lash out at anyone who came too close. Her once open heart had closed up and turned to stone, just like all the statues on the island. For a moment, as he surveyed the stony remains of all those who had come before, Perseus wanted to hate Medusa, but he couldn't. She had been turned into a Gorgon, an unfair and terrible curse, and now she was only defending herself. Not just against all these men who had come to slay her, but also from the world, which had been so unjust and unkind to her. Perseus knew he couldn't undo what had happened to Medusa or turn the old statues back into living flesh and bone, but with Harpy, the magic sword of Zeus, he could break the curse. The Grey Sisters had guided Perseus well. He paused for a moment and equipped himself. Hades' inky cowl sat like silk around his neck, and when he pulled up the hood, he turned nearly invisible, flickery and thin as a shadow. He took up Harpy in one hand and put Athena's shield on the other. He started walking up the trail backwards, looking in the reflection on the shield to find his way. He stumbled over roots and rubble and statues, but slowly he made his way to Medusa's cave. It was wide and low, with a soft sandy floor, and flickered with torchlight. Perseus crept closer, trusting Hades' cowl to keep him hidden. One step at a time, looking in the mirror shield, he made his way to the mouth of the cave. And it was there he saw the monster that Medusa had become. His heart froze as he stared at the Gorgon's reflection in the bronze shield. Her scaly green skin was wound about in green cloth, and her face was twisted and cruel, with fangs hanging from a wide mouth in a perpetual snarl. Her hair was the worst of all. It was made up of dozens of snakes in shades of poison purple. They reared and looked around all on their own, hissing and tasting at the air. As Perseus watched, the Gorgon froze and then tasted the air with a forked and flickering tongue.
"Oh, I smell a man," she called out, almost playful. "I smell a hero come to kill the Gorgon."
She walked towards the mouth of the cave, closer and closer to where Perseus hid, crouched by the stone.
"Oh, come on now. You've sailed all this way. Come and take a look."
Her face twisted into a cruel grin, and Perseus realized that the Grey Sisters had been right. This wasn't the real Medusa anymore, and to free the girl, he'd have to slay the monster. Still looking in his shield, he rose and began to walk backwards towards the Gorgon. His sword seemed to know what was coming and crackled with Zeus's lightning.
"Ugh, I smell you, but I can't see you," Medusa hissed. "Where are you? Have you come to kill me or not?"
"I've not come to kill you," Perseus said, readying himself. The Gorgon turned to look, shocked. The snakes on her head turned as well, just in time to see the glowing blade of Harpy cut the monster's head from its body. "I came to save you," Perseus said sadly. Still not looking, he wrapped the head in his bag and tucked it away. He turned back and saw the body of the Gorgon laying still. Perseus felt his heart break. He had wanted to save Medusa, and in a way she was free of the curse, but not like this, he thought. And then her body began to glow. It was soft at first, but a white light, like a rising morning mist, began to drift off the scaly skin. It grew brighter and brighter, whiter and whiter, larger and larger, until Perseus had to stumble back, shading his eyes. Medusa! He called out, laughing wildly. Medusa, you're free! The body continued to swell and the air seemed to sing with magic. Perseus watched with wonder as a shape started to take form. It was a giant bird with wings of white. No, it was growing still. Not a bird, a horse. A beautiful horse, lightning white with feathered wings that stretched out on either side of her shoulders. The Gray Sisters had been right, Perseus realized. Killing the Gorgon and taking its evil head had freed the pure spirit of Medusa. She had been reborn as a shining Pegasus. All of her hurt and fear and anger had melted away, and though she still remembered what had happened to her, it seemed so much smaller. She could again see that the world had goodness in it, that good things would happen, and that she could be happy. Medusa felt like herself again. You're free, Perseus said again, bowing before the Pegasus. You can go anywhere you want. No one will hunt you now. The Pegasus looked at him with big, shimmering eyes, and then seemed to smile. She bowed back, lowering on her front two legs, and then flapped her wings once, twice, lifting slightly off the ground. Go! Perseus shouted, laughing. Go, go, go! With a few more flaps, Medusa lifted into the air. She was soon soaring above the great wide world, and with a singing swelling of joy in her open heart, she realized that she'd finally be able to see it all, just like she'd always dreamed. Medusa the Pegasus whinnied with glee, swooping through the air, her long hair flowing, sparkling like a waterfall in the sun. Perseus flew back home and gave King Polydectes exactly what he asked for. It turned out all that evil magic in the Gorgon's head was still there, because the king took one look and turned into stone. And Perseus and his mother lived happily ever after, with a nice new statue in the garden. The End. Today's story, part two of Medusa and Perseus, was an adaptation of a Greek myth written for you by Daniel Hines, edited and produced for you by Andrew Martin, and performed for you by me, Amanda Weldon. If you would like to support Stories Podcast, you can leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, get ad-free episodes and more at patreon.com/stories, check out all of our merch available at storiespodcast.com/shop, follow us on Instagram at Stories Podcast, or simply tell your friends about us. Thanks for listening! Hey, Prime members! You can listen to Stories Podcast ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today! Or you can listen early and ad-free with Wondery Plus Kids in Apple Podcasts. Grown-ups, before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.